also, someone needs to take the toys that we have collected to the, well, it doesn't really make any difference. Any fire station, you know, will do. If you have one close to you and you wish to do that, then you may do that. Also, I wish to remind you, we will not be praying next week at this time. We will be watching all night, as is our habit. If you wish to take communion, you have to be fasting from 9 o'clock or 9:30, right? Yeah, that's right. 6 hours and 3 hours, and that's 9. 9 o'clock, 9:30 at the latest. And you have to be, if you want to take communion, in church by 4 in the morning. You have to be in church by 4 in the morning. And we will conclude a little bit after 6 o'clock in the morning. So that's next week. We watch all night. Now, we come here at 6:30. We raise incense, and then we go to Chinatown, and we have a meal. And after the meal, then we come back and we pray. So if you do not find us at a particular time, do not lose heart. We will return. But to make certain that you do not miss anything, be here by 10 o'clock if you want to watch the entire night. We will go from 10 until approximately 6 in the morning, a little bit after perhaps. All right? Any other things that I have neglected to mention? All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. The name Gabriel means the strength of God, the strength. Now a lot of times, there's this thing called sensory redundancy. You see something over and over and over, and you forget when you walk into a place that it's even there. It's just, you expect it to be there. There's a kind of a little, very fast snapshot that everything appears as it should be, but you don't really look. Okay, this is anti-Sherlock Holmes. But if you take a look at the archangel delivering the message to Saint Mary over there in the icon of the Annunciation, you will find that there is a posture that is inappropriate for the strength of God. He is genuflecting. You see the bent knee. This is an important feature, and you should not fail to understand the meaning of this. The Archangel Gabriel was in awe of Saint Mary. Now he who is at the throne of God is in awe of Saint Mary. How should we approach this holy, holy, holy woman? This is something that if you think about it deeply, you will begin to understand why I never call her Theotokos except in the sense of a technical language. I always call her Mother of God, because in this sense she is the most deeply effect of what we define motherhood to be. She is complete mother. She is absolute mother. And she is, beyond that, she's the one who restores, because through Eve, men we're all condemned to die. And this is why it's written that a woman would wail in giving birth, not because of the birth pangs, but because she knew that the one that she had brought into the world through her very pointed labor was going to die. But through Saint Mary, everyone who believes will live. So the difference is that there was one woman who was disobedient. That is Eve. But the circle is completed with Saint Mary, who was obedient. You know, when the archangel told her the things that were going to befall her, she was puzzled. But it was not like the puzzlement of Zechariah. Zechariah said, well, how are these things going to be? I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken in years. How are we going to give the world progeny? And so the angel said, because you have not believed, Zechariah, you will be mute until the day of the birth. But it was not the case with St. Mary, because she was talking to an emissary of God who knew well her own personal vow to God. She would remain a virgin. She was given to the temple as soon as she was weaned from her mother. Now, before the days of Similac, people would typically nurse a child until they were the age of two. So it wasn't like giving a baby to the temple. But it's written in the Protoevangelion that St. Mary, the infancy narratives of the Lord, that St. Mary was taken care of by angels, fed by angels. So for her to see an angel, she was not troubled at his appearance. We would probably fall dead away if an angel appeared right now. She was not flummoxed by that, but by the manner of salutation. Origen, the great philologist, the great linguist, an expositor of the gospel extraordinaire, the father of modern biblical exegesis, he said, nowhere else is anyone so honored with, "Hail thee, O full of grace." It is said to no one else, except the Holy Virgin. And so you see her, she's saying, what manner of salutation is this? I made a vow. The vows that I have made are not going to be broken by God because they are toward God. It's an important thing that we look at her in a very distinct way, because she is not just the pride of our race, or as the popular word now is, an avatar, but she is someone that has been in a prepared state and intersecting with the world, as this woman had to, raised to be betrothed to Joseph. It didn't pollute her. She had to go to the well. She tromped through the mud. There was fecal matter from animals. There was all of the difficult things of life. If there was bread to be made, then there was corn or other kinds of grains that had to be milled. And if they weren't milled fine enough, that's what a mortar and pestle is. Most people don't know what a mortar and pestle are until they get into, their first chemistry class, and they start to compound things and grind things up in a dish. But she had all the hard life. Did she tend the garden? Possibly. Did she take care of small, animals as a woman might? Did she attend the birth of animals to birth them? Possibly. She was a carpenter's wife, was she not? A carpenter was a very rude. He wasn't a furniture maker. He was a carpenter. He felled trees. He took the bark off the trees. He made them into planks. It is said that Joseph was the one that the Romans went to in order to get crosses to crucify people on. Irony of ironies. That's what a carpenter did. So St. Mary's life was fraught with all of the kinds of things that any other woman faces in today's world. We do not trod through muddy fields with fecal matter. But if you live on a farm, you did. We don't go digging into the ground for our vegetables and whatnot. We go to Albertsons and dig through the vegetable bins. We have a much, much easier life than the Holy Virgin St. Mary had. She wasn't immune to what the gossips were doing as they had to go to common places to do common things. Don't think that she didn't have to go to the marketplace. Don't think that she wasn't around rude people. But the preservation of her holiness was entirely in her will. And this is the thing that I want to impress upon you most clearly. If you want to be holy, you may be holy. You do not have to let the world pollute you or dirty you. You don't have to let that happen. You don't have to let the, you know, it's hard now for me to even listen to news. You know, I get so upset. I cut myself off from almost all media. It's a very rare thing for me ever to watch a news program on television. Sometimes I get snippets of news on the radio when I'm driving my car, but I'm not in my car that much. And even then, I will change it so that I can listen to some classical music or something that is not going to be so antagonistic to my inner peace. We have to guard that. You know, we are all born virgin. We are all born virgin. But we lose our virginity. Sometimes in a wanton pursuit of the secrets of adulthood. So even though a person has not done something physically, they may have done everything they possibly could do intellectually to defile themselves. It was available then. I'm not just speaking about the internet. I'm speaking about anything that is a secret. And when you are raised in a rural environment, believe me, you know about fertility and birth giving, because everywhere animals are on display in the spring and in the summer. And you watch everything, and you can figure out very clearly exactly what people of lower tastes now assail their senses with on the internet. These things have always been secrets. These things have always been mysteries. These things have always been the kind of impetus that draws children to want to reach inside themselves and say, no, I'm not eight, I'm eight and a half. You know, I want to be older. There's a rush into what they think is going to be freedom. But it's not. It's not a rush into freedom. You know, the false sense of independence carries with it the heavy burden of being responsible for your own soul. I am responsible for my grandson's soul. I'm responsible. I'm his godparent. I am responsible. But there will come a time, and he will then assume responsibility. This is a heavy thing to hand off to any human being. St. Mary had to leave the temple when she became fertile. When she became the age of all women, she had to leave the temple because she would defile the temple. That was at what age? 11? Sometimes in the Middle East starts at 10? 10, 11, 12? Right in there. And at what time was she betrothed? Almost immediately thereafter. You're talking about if an angel came to you and started to speak to you as an adult, you might have some composure. But a 14-year-old, most 14-year-olds fidget like crazy if they're only told to be still for a short period of time. They can't cease from speaking if they're told to be silent. A period of time. Their mind wanders if they're told to concentrate for a period of time. But here is the oracle of God, the strength of God, the one who serves God at his throne, coming to her. What kind of person was St. Mary? What kind of person did she become? She embraced the whole of motherhood, as I've said. The whole of motherhood. And so, whether male or female now, I do not speak merely to the women, but to the men as well. We must embrace her as mother. Mother occupies a certain place in its holiness. And this place is the one that we go when we are tearful. It's the place that we go when we are ill. It's the place we go when we are downhearted. It's the place that we go every time when we feel alone or ambiguous about our importance in life. We go to be sustained. We go to be healed. We go to be nourished with the embrace of one who loved us so very much more than anybody else. This is why we have the very extensive Theotokia in our psalmody. There is no church on the face of the earth that has a more extensive Theotokia than we. No place on earth. And the sense in which we let that penetrate us. Now, the child that she is going to bear is going to be both king and he's going to be priest. He takes care of both of those things in his incarnation. I'll speak more about that next time. But remember always, the Lord does not ask us to believe something without a nudge, a gentle nudge, a nudge of our conscience, a nudge of our intuition, a nudge of the inclinations that we have towards the desire of a particular event. And so we said, these things are going to come to pass. Look at your cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth is old, very old. And it's now the sixth month with her. So we know that St. John the Baptist was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the sixth month with her who was called barren. There is nothing impossible for God. There is nothing impossible. So we work towards the Nativity together. We work towards the great gift. In our home, we have a Christmas celebration that remembers St. Nicholas or Santa Claus. You know, I have my own take on St. Nicholas. If you say the French or the Spanish pronunciation of saint for a male, San Pedro, for example, San, and you take out a vowel, which in some cases is a part of the name change from culture to culture, you get San Nicolas, Santa Claus, San Nicolas, Nicholas, Nicholas, Saint Nicholas, Saint Nicholas, Bishop of Myra, Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas, Nicholas, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus, Santa Claus. I don't know if this mutation is correct. It just seems to me to be too cute not to have some basis in fact. It's certainly much closer than Baba Noel, which you were raised with if you're Egyptian. But the point is that we always save the best gifts in the commemoration of Christmas on the 25th and on the Nativity of the Lord Jesus Christ on January 7th for January 7th. And as I've told my grandson, Joshua, God doesn't come and give you a gift himself. What he does is he puts it in the mind of somebody who is obedient to him, who knows that you will obey His word. Because if you love God, you must obey God. And He will put a word into the mind of someone, and through Jesus Christ, this person will give you a gift. He will give you a gift. This gift will be from Him, and you can be sure of that. And so we have the gifts that commemorate the giving of Saint Nicholas of Myra, and we have the gift giving that we commemorate in our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the great gift of God to all of humankind. And the best gifts always come from Jesus, because He knows exactly what we want. And He's always, always, always generous. Glory be to His holy name, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.